The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 137 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill and looking resplendent in his Aberdeen gear, scarf, hat, top, everything else. You've even got an Aberdeen gnome, an Aberdeen Land Rover, and of course the mascot, the bull as well.
Yeah.
It's Ewan Cameron. How are you doing?
Yeah. I've had better days. I mean, look at the state of me.
Yeah.
Look at the state of me with Aberdeen scarf, Aberdeen hat.
You did say you would do that.
Yeah. Well, I lost a bet, didn't I?
Yeah.
I lost a bet. As I do frequently, Stephen, I say stupid things. And I get myself into situations where I then regret saying what I say.
And I think it's particularly, you know, beautiful that this has happened off the back of their Scottish Cup win at the weekend as well.
I know.
So are we going for Jambo Sheep or... Yeah.
You've coined that phrase. When did you coin that phrase? Was it last season with the Jambo Bear stuff? I think the season before.
Yeah.
And then since then I've had Jambo Bairns.
Yeah, well you were a supporter of Falkirk, so Jambo Bairn made sense.
Jambo Bairn, and then I had
Jambo Hybe. Can we for a wee bit as well?
Big fan of David Gray.
Jambo Tetch, when you're being tetchy.
Well, I don't think I'm tetchy.
You're quite tetchy, so Jambo Tetch.
And here I am, what, Jambo Sheep now, is it?
Jambo Sheep.
You hashtagging the podcast today's Jambo Sheep, Sweaty Octopus?
It sounds like a good option.
So just for those of you who are unaware of some of the stupid things that I have said over the course of the season, which is quite a lot, I did have a bet with Beth Wallace, who's an Aberdeen fan and works on the Big Scottish Football Show with us, and I did say to her that Hearts would easily finish ahead of Aberdeen in the league. And that
didn't happen last I checked.
I'm just going to be calm today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be zen.
Yeah.
Right.
Jambo zen. Yeah.
I'm just going to be zen. So I think most people would have thought that Hearts would have finished ahead of Aberdeen in the league, and I thought it was a very winnable bet. And the bet was, safe bet and a winnable bet.
The thing is, like, that was sort of like at the start of the season, but then even after Aberdeen had a great start and they totally fell off a cliff, then you were going around saying that Hearts would still finish above Aberdeen.
And finish third.
Mm-hmm. And that was when Hearts were sort of still skittering about in sort of 10th place.
For fuck's sake, jeez.
Calm down. I thought you were going to be zen. Don't swear at me. It's not very zen. Swearing, is it?
Producer John, Sweaty Octopus, is this how it's going to go? Because there's very little to talk about. Obviously, we've got the Scottish Cup final to discuss. We've also got to say congratulations to Hibs. They won the SWPL. And we've also got Rangers, who won the
Women's Scottish Cup
as well. So there's a wee bit to talk about, but not much. So is this the way it's going to go with him just continually needling me?
A wee needle here, a wee needle there,
a little barb there. Is this what it's going to be?
Don't worry, Ewan.
I've lost a bet, right? I'm sat here in an Aberdeen jersey, scarf, hat. I'm surrounded by Aberdeen merchandise. I open my big mouth. I've lost a bet and I'm good for, like, saying if I lose a bet, this is what I'm going to do. So here I am on the podcast looking like a dickhead, right? People will be happy. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Scottish Cup final. Let's talk about something that we did at the weekend. Let's do a recommendation of what's on the telly and stuff like that. Let's not just have a wee pop at me every 2 minutes, because not only do I find it irritating, but I do think people who listen and who watch this podcast also find it quite boring.
Well, yous are both going to look like dickheads later on when we review your season predictions. So I'm looking forward to that.
And did you go back and listen to the... Right, okay.
I've got, by the way, some great shouts from not only just Stephen, from you as well, Ewan, wild shouts.
Okay.
Wild.
And when we're doing that?
We'll do that later on the show.
Right, okay. So apart from me sitting here looking like an arsehole, because there'll be Hearts fans that'll be just disgusted at me. They'll disown me because I'm sat here wearing an Aberdeen gear.
Like, a lot of Hearts fans have disowned you anyway, to be honest. Let's be honest. It's not. It's
right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's the end of the season, mate.
No, you're not.
Oh, fuck. By the way, I just remembered.
What?
Fortunate Falkirk t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. You got that, were you?
Yeah. I just remembered that. You said you'd wear it at the end of the season.
I did say I'd wear it.
There you go, mate.
Go on, put it on, Stephen.
Fucking hell.
Yeah! But it was a Falkirk fan who made that.
That's Alex. Alex Haxton made that for
Who
Stephen.
Made it for Stephen?
Alex.
Alex.
Haxton.
Yeah, and his son, they love the podcast.
Andy.
Andy.
Who's in a very good band called... Who's in a very bad, good band called Partly Ammo, by the way.
It does look good on you, mate. He's got it on. Right, for all the Falkirk fans who listened to this podcast throughout the season and had to listen to Stephen Mills' shit about Falkirk and how they're going to get relegated, they were never going to win the league, that John McGlynn was going to bottle it, etc, etc, etc.
More of that later.
This is a moment you've been waiting for. Stephen Mill, who coined the phrase Fortunate Falkirk, is now wearing the Fortunate Falkirk Champions t-shirt. Can we please give a wee round of applause for Stephen and make your way into the studio? Yeah, there he is. There he is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to speak, mate?
This is like a dream come true.
Uh-huh, it is. Isn't it, mate? I mean, you'd shag him now, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't go that far.
The good thing is, the way if you come back to me, I can just put it like that and you don't see the champions. I'll just sit like that for the entire show.
Brilliant. Right. I mean, see, Stephen's good. I mean, he said a few weeks ago, I'll wear the T-shirt at the end of the season. But again, you've coined a few phrases this season. And
I know.
The Fortunate Falkirk one really stuck. Not just with the Falkirk fans, but with the club as well.
I know, it was good. They were tweeting about it when they were winning the title.
When they were actually picking up their medals. They actually said Fortunate Falkirk picking up their medals.
Yeah.
So does that not make you feel like you've got a wee bit of clout? What does it feel like to have a club who were clearly aware of you giving it to them week after week?
Of little old me. John, how did you feel about it?
Had words with the media too after that particular tweet.
Well, you were raging because you put something in our group chat.
He is going to live off this till the day he dies.
I just find it phenomenal that when they were literally... you know, lifting the trophy, they were thinking about me.
Dunfermline fan.
Obviously I'd have preferred it if you didn't win the league, but in many ways I have won.
Yeah.
So there we go. Right.
Weekend.
What'd you get up to?
Right. What did I get up to the weekend? Let me just think for a second. Well, it was with you on Saturday.
For the big Scottish football show.
Big Scottish football show. Former
Hibs and Aberdeen striker, Steve Cowan.
Steve Cowan was there as well with Beth Wallace, who was at Hampden. She's an Aberdeen fan. She got very emotional.
I would imagine so.
Did you know at the end of the show when we spoke to her?
If Dunfermline won the Scottish Cup, I would be very emotional. And then you wouldn't see me for about a week.
We did the big Scottish football show. What else did I do? Actually, what did I do at the weekend?
Did you watch the football yesterday or anything?
I did watch the football yesterday. I watched Liverpool lift the trophy because I'm a Liverpool fan. That was good. Game wasn't particularly great, but I watched it with my boy. He was sat with his Salah Liverpool jersey on. Mm. Liverpool fan.
I actually thought, like, I know it's a big Scottish football podcast, but I thought the football was shit yesterday.
Right, I'm going to show
everything that I didn't want to happen happened.
Right, I'm going to show you something, right?
Uh-huh.
And this will show you how tight I was and how annoyed I was at the time. So a couple of years ago, I went to Anfield with my son for a pre-season friendly. I can't even remember who it was against. It was some French team that I've not really heard of. Anyway. So I took my son as a surprise down to Anfield and we sat in the main stand. And before we went to the game, we then went to the Liverpool Superstore.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Liverpool Superstore, they don't have like any prices on any of the jerseys. You just pick it up, you stand in the queue, you go at the till and you go whatever name you want, whatever number you want, then type things in, and you go X amount. It cost me just over £100, right? For number 11, and what everybody gets is M. Salah.
Yeah.
But because I was so fucked off and pissed off, right, at the price of the jersey, I told them not to put the M in the dot to save a couple of pounds.
I didn't even realise that was a thing.
It's an M. Dot Salah. That's the actual name on the back of his jersey.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
So if you're watching, there you go. There it is there. I got my son the top when we were at Anfield, but... I didn't put the M or the dot on it because I was so annoyed at the price of a kid's jersey that I just got Salah in number 11.
Yeah.
And he, to this day, didn't realise it at the time that I didn't put the M in the dot. And he's really embarrassed to wear that top, even outside, because we didn't put the M in the dot on it. But prices of jerseys is unbelievable.
So you just had a quiet day yesterday.
So a quiet day yesterday. Oh, why is the camera so close to my face?
Because
nobody wants to see that.
It was zoomed in on your phone.
Oh, zoomed in on my phone. Okay. What did do you know what I did last night, which is unusual for me, because I'm not much of a drinker. I actually had 4 bottles of beer.
Oh.
Beer Amaretti. I told you about the one.
Is this the salty one?
The salty one. Sea salt.
Yeah.
It's got a touch of sea salt in the beer Amaretti. It's a blue one. It's absolutely gorgeous and crispy cold. Amazing.
But Moretti's one of those. My auntie got married in Italy.
Oh, nice.
Probably about 15 years ago or something now. Mm-hmm. And we had these two villas that we were staying in.
Well, together.
Yeah, so there was loads of folk. There was like 18 folk there or something like that. And we had two big villas. And we just used to do sort of like runs to the shop every day to get food and drink and all the rest of it. And the beer of choice was Moretti. And I drank so much Moretti that week that I don't think I've drank it since, because I'm just like...
Oh, really?
Absolutely sicking myself with Moretti.
Were you ill with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was really
ill. So it
put
you off it. I had the same situation years ago with peach schnapps. I drank a bottle of peach schnapps and I've not been able to eat a peach since. I can't even smell peaches. I can't be doing with peaches because of that experience of a bottle of peach schnapps. I remember getting the...
Do you like a nectarine?
A what?
A nectarine.
And no, a peach schnapps I'm talking about.
No, I know, but so you don't eat peaches, but do you like a nectarine? A nectarine's sort of like a baldy peach.
No, I don't like anything. It's got a smell or taste of a peach. Right. It just takes me back to how ill I was.
Plums?
I don't mind a plum.
Right.
I've had a few.
I know
plums
are different from peaches,
yeah.
But you know,
no, but
they're in the same sort of neck of the woods.
Are they from the same family?
Apricot?
I'll eat an apricot yogurt.
Right.
But well, I wouldn't eat
not a peach yogurt.
Not a peach yogurt.
Not a nectarine.
Not
yogurt.
A nectarine, no. But see when you.
Nectarines, if you shave a peach, you get a nectarine.
Yeah, if it tastes like a peach, I'm not eating it.
Right.
I can't even do the smell of peach. If I walk into somebody's house and it's smelling the peaches, I'm booking.
Whose house is smelly peaches like? How many houses have you walked in your life and you thought, but this house smells like peaches?
I don't think there's many, if any. But I'm just saying, if there was any houses that smelly peaches, then it would impact me badly.
Cool.
Because smells can do that to you. Taste can do that to you. It takes you back to a time that's not a good memory.
I don't like tuna, right?
At all.
At all.
And why are you skinner by tuna?
Because I think tin tuna smells like death. So I will not eat tin tuna. I would maybe have sort of like a tuna steak if I had to. But
tin tuna smells like death.
It smells horrific. Tin tuna.
Can you eat it in a sandwich?
No.
So you can get like a tuna mayo baguette?
No, oh, no.
With cucumber and tomato,
no,
tuna,
no,
mayo.
No, non-tuna. If tuna's in it, I'm not eating it.
At all? Tuna salad? You don't smell tuna in a salad?
Yes, you do.
Hey, you don't really.
You do.
Well, I don't know if it smells like death, because see if something smells like death, I'm not eating it.
So I know.
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
I think peaches smell much better than tuna.
Yeah, but when you had the experience that I had where I was sick all over my shoes... And I was sick in the back of a taxi.
I've been sick in my shoes before.
Yeah, I know, but it was because of the peach schnapps. I drank a bottle of peach schnapps.
Yeah, but it was
disgusting.
I know, but I've been sick lots of times. And still.
But it can put you off.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an odd thing. I think you should maybe try peaches again.
No, I'm not.
Try it. I bet you if you had a peach, you'd enjoy it.
Okay. Are we back here next week? You can bring some peaches in for me. We can try it out.
We could bring some peaches, yeah. Right.
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Oh, you're not done.
I've got a recommendation for you.
That's what I was going to go on and do. That's what I was going to do. Slick John. Well
done. Fucking Jesus.
You'd think by this time in the season he'd be...
Yeah.
Sort of, he'd know what...
That was good.
No, it wasn't. It
really, that was good.
You could drive a bus through that gap.
Yeah, and also it's really quite low when it started off, so... Yeah.
No, it's too high now, John.
But at the point when we say, let's make a recommendation, so let's...
It needs to be high.
Yeah, go and stop that and let's just pretend that didn't happen.
So try again?
No, not yet. I've got to say it.
All right, okay.
It gives you an edit point, mate, if you want to edit to make yourself look a bit more slicker.
Nah, he won't do that. He can't be bothered.
Because he's a lazy bastard.
He's a lazy bastard. We've covered this.
Yeah. I've got a recommendation for you. It's low again.
Why is this? Why you had it so low?
Can we need to do it again, mate?
It sounds good in my headphones.
No, it's not. You can barely hear it. Is that the level you want?
Just no. It starts loud, and right, as I speak,
John,
about my
John put it up as loud as it can go to start with, and then pull it down.
I'll do it your way. How long have you worked in radio? It won't sound good, right?
It won't sound good.
No, it does. It starts loud, and then when I start to speak, you bring the volume down.
That's not how we've done it before.
It is.
But it's not.
It really is. It's not how we do it. Right, John, just do it for
free. Right, okay.
Right, you ready, Stephen?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, by the way, I've got a recommendation for you. That's how it's always been, you fanny.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's how it's always been.
I know.
No, it's not.
It has. Go back and listen. Right, my recommendation this week, something that I'm guessing we won't discuss in any great detail, it's Fred and Rose West.
All right, okay.
Yeah, just watch it. Did you watch it?
I started watching it, and then actually I was like, this is just all a bit grim, and I couldn't be arsed.
That's a really good description of the documentary. It's grim, but it gives you a fascinating insight into what was one of the worst cases in British criminal history.
It's good that you've just picked the number one thing on Netflix again.
I don't do that, Stephen.
I think if somebody was to analyse your recommendations throughout the season, all the ones that are on Netflix, it's just whatever's on the front page. That's pretty much it.
No, I don't think that's quite true, Stephen.
I think it is. I think it absolutely is.
You've
recommended films, and obviously that's different.
Uh-huh.
But you actually haven't recommended a film for a while. Is 2025 not been a good year for films so far?
It's not been the best year
for films,
if I'm going to be brutally honest with you. A lot of the action stuff hasn't been great. There's been a couple of good horror films which I've recommended already this year. But in a general sense, I don't think the movies have been that great. I'm going to go and see the final ever Mission Impossible movie later this week.
Do you need to have watched the other ones?
You'd have to have watched part one of the last, it's a double header. So it's a continuation of the second last movie.
I've seen the first one before.
The very first one?
Yeah.
Way back in the 90s.
Is it similar to that?
No, it's better than that.
Where he sort of gets low down and then he's got a wee bit of sweat in his nose.
Aye, and then it drips. Listen, it's a really good franchise. I've loved nearly all the movies over the years, and this is the final one ever. So I'm looking forward to going and seeing that.
Is it going to be a sad ending, do you know?
I don't know, Stephen. I really don't know. Have you heard anything?
No, even if you had, you can't say. No, I wouldn't say, but you would.
No, I wouldn't say, but what I have heard, somebody who is known within the franchise and has been there a long time dies very early in the movie.
Simon Pegg.
Is it Simon Pegg?
I've got no idea.
I don't know who it is.
I'm not going to go and see it because I'm not real interested. I think Tom Cruise is a weirdo.
But he makes good movies, though, eh? I mean, he might think we're weirdos. Well, so somebody very, very prominent in the movie dies early on in the film. And okay. I think you're probably right with
Tom
that
Cruise?
One. No, it's not Tom Cruise because there's no film then without him. But you could be right. It might be Simon Pegg. But I'm looking forward to seeing that. And Fred and Rose West on Netflix is a really, really good documentary that I would recommend. And there is a movie that I would also recommend, which I watched earlier in the week. And it was... what's it called?
Oh, no. Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Toy Story 2.
The Godfather.
Mulan?
Cocktail.
No, it's not.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Rush Hour.
Are we just going to... You just put me off now.
Roadhouse.
Well, you said what's the name, so I'm suggesting films. These are all films.
No, it's...
It's Little Mermaid.
Oh, Stephen, shut up.
Pretty Woman.
No, stop. You keep saying movies in my head and it's just...
Taxi Driver.
Oh, for...
Dirty Dancing.
You need... Right.
Raging Bull.
Bridget Jones Diary 2.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
I would recommend Andor on Disney Plus.
No, you can't just fire out recommendations. You're confusing people.
It stars James McAvoy. It's the first time I'd seen it.
Split.
Yes! Fuck yes, that's it. I couldn't get the Split.
It's a bit weird.
But it's a good film.
It's a bit weird.
I liked it though. It's the first time I'd seen it. It's been out for years. It was really, really good. I watched that earlier in the week. Split's really good. So there's your recommendation. Yeah. What happened to my music journal, that chat?
It got turned off because you ran out of time because you were given so many recommendations. Do you have a joke?
Yeah, I've got a joke. What did the fisherman say to the magician?
What did the fisherman say to the magician? I don't know, Ewan. What did the fisherman say to the magician?
Pick a card. Pick a card.
That's one of the better ones. that was quite good. I did quite like that one.
Pick a card. Pick a card.
That is quite good. I did like that one. Right.
Hey, sweet octopus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell that one of your kids when you get home.
That's a good one. That is a good one, to be fair. That made me smile. That one. Right. Feedback from last week. Chippy Chasers. Ian Mitchell says, whenever me and the missus get a chippy, she'll get fish, but only wants one, so her second piece becomes my chaser. Normally accompanying a sausage supper, it is the foundation of our relationship.
A sausage supper with a single fish chaser? Nah, too much.
Mark Rennie says, chippy order, steak pie supper, salt, brun sauce, spicy haggis chaser, tub of curry sauce to pour over the top.
Oh my god, that's minging. Who's that?
Mark Rennie.
Not Mark, I'm not having that. And the thing is though, a steak pie with chippy sauce on top of the steak pie.
Yeah
fucking minger.
Alan says, from the chippy has to be a fish supper with a single white pudding with salt and vinegar. None of this Edinburgh nonsense of salt and sauce.
What was that again? He's
so he's got a fish supper but a white pudding chaser. I'd take that. Completely wrong. You absolutely need brown sauce.
Yeah, you
proper
do.
Chippy brown sauce.
Proper brown.
And loads of vinegar.
Aye.
Jordan Abraham says, special fish supper. That's the breaded one.
Oh, that's amazing. I love a breaded fish
you
supper.
You always have to wait for that one, though.
Yeah.
And a single sausage chaser. So he's again going for the fish and sausage combo.
Some combo, yeah. But the main is the breaded fish.
Murray C11 says, either sausage or pizza crunch supper.
Oh, mate, I can't remember last time I had a pizza crunch. That was when I was a kid growing up. You'd have pizza crunch, deep fried pizza. It was like the go-to staple when I was a kid. But see now, I couldn't fucking...
I've never had one. I've never had a pizza crunch.
I wouldn't recommend it.
And he has either onion rings or mozzarella stick chaser. Now, I wouldn't say they're chasers. I said they're sides.
They're sides. They're definitely not a chaser.
Richard Hamilton, haggis fritter are elite as a chaser, usually on the side of a pizza supper.
Listen, I like a haggis supper, but the haggis fritter for me is way too oily. It's far too oily. I can't stand a haggis fritter.
Craig R says, I prefer McDonald's or chippy tapas. Hate the chips, so I always get three items, pie, sausage and scampi from the chippy. Just protein only. And from McDonald's, a cheeseburger, fillet of fish and a chicken mayo. So you're covering all the meat groups there. Basically.
All three?
Well, not all the meat groups, but a lot of them.
Aye, but he orders all three.
And no chips.
That's nuts. Before you move on to more reaction from last week's show, see, when it comes to fast food chips, what is the best fast food chips on the market?
I do like McDonald's chips.
I think McDonald's beat Burger King. I think they beat KFC easily. There is no doubt in my mind that they are, without doubt, the best French fries that you can get on the market. What about you, sweaty octopus?
Can we include Nando's Piri Piri salt chips within that?
Yeah, they are quite good.
They're quite good as well. But I still think that McDonald's hold the edge on that. See, when they're piping hot, they are amazing, the McDonald's chips. I sometimes, if I'm feeling a bit peckish, I won't even get a burger. I'll just go into the McDonald's drive-thru and order a large French fries. Because I think they're that good. I know a lot of people think that the KFC ones are quite good because they've got that new salty stuff on top. But for me, it's McDonald's every day of the week.
Well, see,
the Five Guys chips, they give you way too many and they're shite. They're tiny wee things and crunchy bits are just crap.
Okay. Thought you were going to be zen this week, but
there goes the Five Guys sponsorship. Then
exactly. Five Guys has tipped you over the edge with our mountain of chips. Yeah, lots of people talking about me walking out of a cafe last week.
Oh, I did see a lot of reaction to that.
So, hey, Bender,
do you want to remind people what that happened there, just quickly?
So, I went for breakfast. This was in London. I was myself, and I was sat at the table. I was looking at the menu, and the guy comes up and says, "Oh, do you mind if somebody comes and sits across for you at your table?"
And I went, said,
"Yeah, I do mind." And then he's like, "Oh, that's fine. I'll just bring them across." I was like, "No. You misunderstand me. Do not bring them across."
Yeah.
And he was like, "All right, okay." And he looked sort of like a wee bit miffed about it. And then I was like, "You know what? Fuck you." So I got up and left.
Yeah.
Because I was like, "You're a greedy bastard, and you're just trying to get another cover in and make more money." So
and why to put a stranger along across from you?
And I'm just not interested in that. So right move by Stephen to walk out the cafe. I want to know what kind of person would show up at a restaurant and say yes when asked if they would like to be seated with a stranger at an already occupied table. That's a very good point, because if I came in and I was like, "Can I have a table for one?" and they said, "Oh, yeah, but you have to sit beside someone else," I'd be like, "Well, no, I'll just go somewhere else then."
Aye, but that person was quite happy to sit beside you.
Yeah. Ryan McDee says, multiple points of agreement with Stephen this week. The beef main and chicken chaser, or vice versa, is the correct way to order McDonald's, and also spot on for telling the cafe to shove it further cheek. Neil Cobb says, I have two stories similar to Stephen regarding rude service at restaurants. The first was in Falkirk in 2007, when my cousins from Bristol were staying with us. We were at the Pizza Hut near the Cineworld. Don't know if it's still there.
It's still there. Yeah, it's still there.
We ordered our food and were waiting ages before my aunt and uncle decided enough was enough and just stormed out. I was 10 at the time and quite upset at missing out. My second story occurred this month at a restaurant on the seafront in Western-super-Mare, where I now live. I just finished the local park run with some of my running mates, and we went to this restaurant for some breakfast. I ordered a coffee and some toast. After about 20 minutes, I got my coffee, brackets, and my friends their drinks. We waited probably another 20 minutes at least before the toast arrived, by which point the coffee was cold. I did pay them what they were owed, but I got my revenge by giving the restaurant a 1-star review on TripAdvisor. So my tip personally would be to be courteous, but give a bad review about your experience. That'll cost them far more customers than you storming out.
I'm not so sure that's the right way to go about it.
No, I mean, I know that restaurants and cafes take TripAdvisor mega seriously.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, more so than you going off your nut and not paying for something in the restaurant.
I didn't go off my nut. I just got up and walked out. Like, I didn't cause a scene.
But did you feel like you were being a bit of a dick?
No.
No.
They were being the dicks.
But then...
They were being greedy bastards.
Right, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, because I'm with you. I support you, but I'm playing devil's advocate here, because there will be some people out there thinking, well, what a selfish prick you are not to let someone sit down across from you when there's an empty seat there.
Cool. And they can think that.
But here's the thing though, right? So you say, no, I don't want that person sat across from me that I don't know from Adam, right? They go, oh, okay. They walk away. And then 2 minutes later, you think, well, fuck it, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then they've lost two customers.
Good.
You think they deserve that?
Absolutely.
Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
They deserve no customers if that's the way they treat their customers, in my opinion.
But then you could have been kind and went, yeah, I don't mind, let him sit down, because obviously there's no space else for him to go, and I'd like him to have his breakfast before he heads on to work.
Go somewhere else.
But
you're in London, there's a million cafes.
What if he's in a rush? What if he's in a rush or she's in a rush?
Right,
do you know, was it he or she? Would that make a difference?
There's playing devil's advocate, and then there's taking it too far, because your next logical is like, what if they were dying and they had to eat a breakfast? And if they didn't, they'd die.
What if they had diabetes and they walked to it and they collapsed?
Well,
because they needed something to eat.
They should manage their diabetes better then. My mate's got diabetes. Get the wee thing on your arm. It goes off when your sugar levels go low.
Would it have made a difference had it been a woman?
No.
No, it would have been the same answer.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was.
What if it was a famous footballer?
No, I'm not interested.
You're in London, Ian Wright wants to sit beside you.
Not interested.
Alan Shearer?
Definitely not.
Gary Lineker?
No.
Like, you would, all right, okay, who else is there? Kate Winslet has just happened to walk on by. She needs something to eat.
Well,
you're sat at a table of two, but
knowing
there's only...
Kate Winslet, she'd sit on the whole fucking table and let me drown like she did in Titanic. selfish cow.
She'd take up the full space. Yeah,
exactly.
She would. You wouldn't get a chance to eat your breakfast.
Exactly. I'd be sort of eating half my own chin. So, right, other stuff. Paul T says, spot on about Stephen Robinson. Saints play some great football. The only difference is we don't have the keeper pass the ball to our centre-halves to watch them pass it amongst themselves for 2 minutes. It's sheer laziness from people in the media who label Saints as long ball slash direct. Value for money when watching the Saints, despite the extortionate rising ticket prices. Aaron Smith says, enjoy the podcast, lads, but you both saying you'd take Dessers over Ida is nonsense. Dessers is 30 and he's still erratic most of the time and didn't even have the balls to hit a penalty in the cup final. Ida is 24 and still has many years to improve. He scored crucial goals in cup finals, scored twice at Ibrox and scored 4 goals in the Champions League this season. Without Ida, Celtic would have won nothing last season. Ida has been mainly second choice this season and has still scored 21 goals. Not a bad return. It's also important to mention he didn't have a full pre-season. We've seen plenty of players improve drastically from a full pre-season under Rodgers, Kuhn, O'Reilly, Armstrong, Christie. People go on about his transfer fee, but Ida has no control over his fee. 9 million nowadays in football is peanuts. Celtic sold Bernabe for 5 million to put into perspective. Also, fully agree with Stephen on pitch invasions. They're tragic and forced. They kill celebrations.
What was his name?
Aaron Smith.
Aaron, what I would say, and I'm not being in any way or trying to be disrespectful to Adam Ida, but see when you play in that Celtic team, I think Stephen scores goals and he's not a professional footballer because Celtic dominate and they create loads and loads and loads of chances. Stephen would score goals in that Celtic team.
We've had an ongoing debate about this in Super Scoreboard, right? Say you two were in the Celtic team.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you would at least score one goal in the season?
Yes,
easy. Even at your ages and even at your fitness levels as they are, do you think you would score 100%. At least one goal
at least
across
one.
The season?
At least, actually, I would say at least 5.
Do you think so?
Aye, 100%. The chances they create is unbelievable. The amount of possession that they have. I would just stand on the penalty spot.
I think by the just sheer probability you would.
Yeah. And
because they create so many chances
and
it will hit off you and go in.
Aye. And listen, forget what Stephen and I think, because we're football fans at the end of the day. He's a Dunfermline fan, I'm a Hearts fan. But Steve Cowan, who played with Aberdeen under Sir Alex Ferguson, who was top goal scorer at Hibs, had a great career, he would take Dessers over Ida, and he himself was a top striker.
I know what Aaron's saying about Dessers. Dessers is 30, so, you know, he's probably...
But in regards...
That's it, and Ida's got, you know, he's only 24, so he could improve. What I would say, actually, is Celtic looked worse when Ida went off on Saturday. Now, they took Engels off at the same time.
Shouldn't have taken
Engels
off.
And I thought that was a mistake. But I'd have probably left Ida on for all of Slagdom because... He does cause problems.
Physically causes problems. And he's got a bit of pace.
So I wouldn't have taken him off on Saturday. However, I know what you're saying, like Adam Ida didn't choose Celtic to pay £9 million for him. I know that's not his fault. I'm not having a go at the boy himself for it. But if that's £9 million worth of striker, then we may as well pack up and go home. Because he's nowhere near that.
If you had 10 players already picked for your team, and your choice was Ida or Dessers?
Dessers. Because I think Dessers, yes, he misses chances, but he scores more goals.
Yeah, I think he holds the ball up a wee bit better as well.
I think the £9 million thing is a bit of a... Sort of like
it's not his fault.
It's not his fault. Of course, it's not his fault.
But that's the problem. That's what he's judged on, because Celtic have gone out and paid. Did they not spend something like £30 million on 3 players? What was it? They paid
Engels was 11,
9,
and Jota was
eight and a half or something. So when you put that kind of money out there, and for a club like Celtic to pay close to £30 million in transfer fees, you're expecting a proper player. That's what you'd expect, especially in the Scottish Premiership. And Ida, for me, yes, he's scoring goals, but as we've just alluded to there, I think we could score goals in that Celtic team. And I think half a decent striker would score goals in that Celtic team. But is he the player that's going to take to that next level? For me, no.
For example, like I think that like Giakoumakis was a better player.
I thought Celtic. Yeah, he was. I really liked him. For me, he's way better than Ida. For me, when he was at Celtic, I thought he was a great player. And when he left, I thought Celtic missed him as well.
But listen, Aaron, thank you very much for your message. A very well put point. You're entitled to it.
Yes.
Colin Melvin says, genuine question, gents. Are we now in a position to say that any incident where the referee does not give a goal in the field, that means that the goal is not given in any circumstances? The clip shown to VAR clearly shows the ball rippling the side of the net. This is in reference to the ghost goal at Easter Road.
It didn't ripple the side of the net, though.
It also hits the post and goes backwards. The laws of physics and maths means that the ball has to have crossed the line. Or there's an alternative theory to this story that the VAR team made another, quote, honest mistake.
But the VAR wasn't conclusive, and that was a point that we were making last week. It was a point that lots of people were making at the time. I think if you cannot definitively 100% know that that was a goal, you can't give it. Very similar to when it comes to a penalty. If you can't make a decision definitively, if it's a penalty, if it's a handball, or if it's gone over the line or not, you can't give it. That's, I think, is the best way to go about it.
McDonald 1870 says, on reclining seats, I absolutely detest anyone who reclines their seat. As you both said, there shouldn't be that option. Even when you recline an aeroplane seat, unless you're in business class, it's still uncomfortable. It's just slightly less uncomfortable than being upright, so why bother? It's so rude to the person behind you. Once I was on a flight back from Mexico to Manchester, and a Scouse woman in front of me reclined it from takeoff all the way to landing, to the point her hair was nearly up my nose. I still refused to recline, as I didn't want to put the same position onto the person behind me. This was followed by a car drive from Manchester to Glasgow. Great laugh that was.
So what was the flight time from Mexico to Manchester with that?
Must be like 10 hours or something.
And then you've got 4-hour drive after that?
And to be fair, I did see another couple of people saying, oh, like, you know, if you're going from, like, you know, Glasgow to Sydney,
Australia or something.
Aye. I did say within reason. If you're on an overnight flight or it's a 15, 16-hour flight.
Yeah.
Recline your seat back and have a wee sleep, but then put it forward.
Aye.
You know what I mean? I think there are rules.
I think you're bang on the money.
My point
overnight is... Overnight flights where they turn the cabin lights off and everyone just sort of like starts to rest and settle down for the night. If it's a long-haul flight, I get it, because I've been on flights to Vegas, for example, which is probably the longest flight I've been on, which is about 11 hours. And when it's a night flight, you don't really think about or mind people reclining in seats because people are settling down for the night. They're having a sleep and they've got themselves comfortable. And I found myself reclining a seat in that situation. But see, during the day, when it's a day flight, like if it's between here and Mallorca or whatever it might be, fuck that, you're taking a piss then.
And you know what? We're actually arguing about something that shouldn't be a problem, because CF Airlines, again, weren't just greedy bastards and put fewer seats in their planes, then this wouldn't be an issue.
Have you seen that thing that was announced earlier this week about the standing up seats?
Are they go on about this all the
time? No. It's like you can double the amount of passengers you can put in a plane.
Yeah,
I mean, you literally cannot move. You're standing, sitting. It's ridiculous. And I wouldn't be surprised if EasyJet or Ryanair install them at some point in the not too distant future. It was a German company that unveiled them during the week. Now, look, it's impressive how they do it, but it looks so uncomfortable.
James Duffy says, went to the Chinese buffet in Falkirk and had 6 plates with pints. Got up to the town and felt awful. Tactical spew and everything was right in the world again. Would recommend.
Is it the Chinese buffet done by Chianti? Because that's...
I don't know, James isn't here, mate, so I can't ask. It was a message.
What a smart arse. What a smart arse. And Sweaty Octopus.
Ewan.
We're in the Falkirk area. Uh-huh. Have you been to that new Chinese buffet next to Chianti?
There used to be the Bean Cross.
Aye.
I've not been there
yet. Have you not been there? No. Is there that Chinese buffet down by the Ladbrokes?
That's the only Chinese buffet in Falkirk I can think of.
No, there's the one at Bean Cross.
Aye, that's the one.
I just want. Does he say which one he was at, Stephen?
No, it just says that one.
Just no, which one? He said just Chinese buffet.
There is only one in Falkirk.
No, I just told you there's another one.
Whereabouts is the other one?
Next to the bean cross, the big one now.
That's
huge.
The Chinese buffet, but where's the other one? That's the one I'm talking about.
The one up at...
I can't believe we're having this argument on the podcast.
Where's the grave? Where's the graveyard? Down where the beef eater used to be and all that. That road.
If I was going to choose a Chinese buffet, the one by the graveyard sounds like a great Chinese buffet to me.
Oh, I know what you mean. Behind the court at Kenwood.
Oh, behind the court. That's another place I would love to.
Behind Falkirk Sheriff Court. You know, when on the road you turn left.
Yeah.
There's a book. You've got Coral, right, William right, Hill. Yeah. You've got Ladbrokes round the corner.
Next to all the bookies and the court. That Chinese buffet. That sounds like the place to be. That sounds like a high-end Chinese buffet. Right, we've got a nomination for the Ian David Thompson Thick List. It comes from Philip J. Fry, and he's like, the Ian David Thompson Thick List. 2 years of not washing your bed sheets that you share with a mate. The bed sheet must have been like a sheet of gyp rock. So I think you've been nominated, Ewan, for the Ian David Thompson Thick List.
Right, see, when you're... I moved out the house. When did I move out the house? What age was I? I was 17, 18. I couldn't get out the house quick enough because my mum and I never got on. So I got out the house and my mate, Phil, who I'm still best pals with, and he still lives in the Middle East, he had a brother, no, he had an uncle who had what I would describe as a barge.
Okay, like Rosie and Jim.
Yeah, so he had like a barge and it was moored at the Marina Club in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
And he was moving out of this barge to move into a flat. And he was giving the barge stroke, boat, house, boat, whatever you want to call it, to Phil, my best mate. And Phil asked me if I wanted to share in the...
And live in the boat, like Rosie and Jim.
Rosie and Jim. Now, to describe it, it was like a one-bedroom flat, but... You had a bed at one end of the barge. You had a small kitchen. You had a tiny sofa.
A galley, I believe it's called, if it's on that, a boat.
And then there was a wee shower. But it was basically an open plan barge on the sea at the Marina Club. So there was one big double bed. But I was 18, 17, 18, 19. I was there for 4 years. We lived together for 4 years. And we shared the bed. We shared the double bed. We were just mates. Our days were nights, our nights were days. We drank, we went fishing. I was working in nightclubs. He was working in pubs and clubs and everything as well. And yes, we didn't wash sheets. We didn't do that much washing. We didn't do much washing when it came to the duvet covers or that. But you're young, you're stupid, you're single, you're daft. Would I do that today? No, I wouldn't, because that's just fucking minging. But let's not kid ourselves on. When you're young, you're stupid, you're daft, you've got a wee bit of freedom. You don't really think about those things at the time. You don't.
So, John, what are you thinking for the Ian David Thompson Thick List?
That's not thick. That's not a...
Do you think he's on the list for
that? Nah, I'm going to let you off on that.
Yeah,
one,
okay. Right. Were you a filth bag when you were younger, John? I bet you are.
I think we all... Like, student flat was terrible. Awful.
Well, this... I mean, I wasn't in a student flat with a shitload of people. It was just me and Phil.
Yeah, it was just you and Phil on a boat.
Right. Okay.
Like Rosie and Jim.
You and Phil going along on the old rag doll.
Hold on, I'm going to see if I can get Phil. I'm a wee bit worried about it. So, John, see before I phone Phil, right, because he's in Dubai just now.
Right.
If he answers, right, you have to promise me. I don't know what he's going to say because he's a bit of a nutter, right? If he, you may have to edit bits of this out, okay, if he answers the phone. You have to promise me.
Right.
Because I don't know what he's going to reveal here.
Does he know about the older lady?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he knows all that. Let's hope he picks up.
Time difference in Dubai, what, 5 hours behind? So it's
it's four.
Is it four?
And they're in front.
In front, brilliant.
And it's three.
So that was all completely...
All that was wrong, so yeah.
Phil. You did answer there, what happened?
You saw your
name. Your name and went, fuck that. That's that guy I shared a bed with in a boat.
What time is it there just now? Four.
3 o'clock.
No, is it 4 hours now?
It's three.
It's definitely summer. Three?
Yep. Phil can't be arsed with you again.
it might just be a blessing in disguise if he doesn't answer. What would he be doing? What day is it today? Monday? Would he be... Oh, no, he wouldn't be working now because he finished at 2:30. He might be driving home or something. He'll phone me back and then we'll speak to him. But yeah, we shared a boat for a long, 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 long time.
Okay, so you're not going on the Ian David Thompson
cyclist. No, I don't think that's fair.
Okay, right. Some stories from the week. The Rangers managerial saga continues. Steven Gerrard, the rumours are heating up there. David Ancelotti still kicking around as well. So we'll see what happens this week. Steven Gerrard was at the Liverpool game yesterday. I saw that.
I did see it. It got emotional, actually, when they were singing You Never Walk Alone.
Okay.
You got very emotional.
Stuart Kettlewell has been appointed as Kilmarnock manager. That was confirmed this morning. So,
Is that a surprise appointment for you? Because his name wasn't really mentioned early doors. It was your Naismiths of this world and Sean Maloney's and all that.
Obviously, I think he did an all right job at Motherwell, but the way it ended, like, you know, when he was sort of just, you know, going mental about lots of different things, that would maybe put me off a wee bit. But, you know, it's quite the turnaround for Stuart Kettlewell. He lost the Ross County job.
Yeah. He did well at Motherwell, to be fair.
He was down to the final two, twice for getting the Dunfermline job, once in the Championship and once in League One. So he could have been Dunfermline manager easily.
Was he actually offered it?
It was between him and John Hughes when we were in the Championship. They gave it to John Hughes, and it was between him and James McPake in League One, and they gave it to James McPake. So
he would have taken a job had he been offered it. Oh, yeah. At Dunfermline. He was right there.
He was down to the final two.
Was he right? So, I didn't know that.
Quite the turnaround for Stuart Kettlewell. Yeah. Sean Maloney being tipped for the Dundee job.
He
was doing the Scottish Cup coverage for the BBC at the weekend.
Yeah.
What else is there? Interviews for the Partick Thistle job happened last week as well. I don't know. There was rumours that obviously Dougie Emery
was mentioned.
Morton had given Partick Thistle permission to speak to him.
Yeah.
I think James McPake is in for that job as
That's
well.
That's right. Brian Graham's still not out of it.
Falkirk have brought back their youth academy. Sweaty Octopus, happy with that?
Absolutely delighted about that, actually.
Okay. When did you get rid of it?
When Paul Hartley decided to get rid of it to spend it on a bunch of diddies from down south.
Yeah. From down south.
So it's
that was a very funny season. A good season.
That was a good few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, there's also in fact, we'll get to that in just a wee second. And Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore have won the Scudetto. They've won Serie A for Napoli. They got the job done on Friday night. Scott McTominay scoring a 2-0 win. And that was enough for Napoli to win the title. Antonio Conte is leaving, though, as Napoli manager. It's so shocking. Ewan's destroying the place. Yeah. So,
weirdly, Steve Cowan and I were talking about this at the weekend there, about Conte and what he's achieved and what he's done. And we both said, wouldn't surprise me if he decides to walk away.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Well, I mean, he's clearly unhinged.
The thing is, though, if you look at what he's achieved with Napoli this year, remarkable. I mean, he signed players...
They finished 10th or something last season, did they?
But then you look at the players that he signed, Lukaku, who can be hot or cold. You've got McTominay, who was not wanted by Man United. You had Billy Gilmore, who wasn't really getting a game at Brighton. He signed Philip Billing from Bournemouth. So he brought in all these players who, no disrespect, aren't like top tier players, but he moulded a brilliant team and a togetherness, and it drove them to a league title that was truly unexpected. And now that he's achieved that, he ain't going to do that again with them. And I think it's one of those things. He's got out when he's red hot at the top, and he knows, fuck, that was a lot of work. I'm not doing that again.
He'll probably end up at Milan or something because they've had a shocker this season, so that might be his next wee project for him.
That's not a bad shout.
And Allegri, apparently. Massimo Allegri is getting appointed.
At Napoli?
Yeah.
It was...
Massimo? Max?
Massimo. Max. Massimo Allegri? I think it is. I was also hearing this morning when I was driving to do the podcast that Erik ten Hag has got the Bayer Leverkusen job.
He's been appointed as Massimiliano.
So
we're both right.
And ten Hag has replaced Xabi Alonso at Bayer Leverkusen.
Let's get on to the weekend's football then. And only one place to start. Scottish Cup final on Saturday. It was 1-1 after extra time. Obviously penalties. And Aberdeen win their first Scottish Cup since 1990. Their eighth ever. which draws them level with Hearts. Brendan Rodgers, his first loss in the Scottish Cup and his first ever loss at Hampden as well. So, terms of the game, first half, Aberdeen obviously sat in. I think Celtic had something like, what, 83% possession or something like that. However, no shots on target. It was the Dorrington own goal that put Celtic in front. I mean, Celtic were dominant without doing much. And I think had Aberdeen got to half-time, 0-0, they would have been absolutely delighted with that, conceded the goal just before half-time. But we were chatting on the Big Scottish Football Show, in a similar theme on this podcast and on that show, is yourself and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan have criticised Jimmy Tilleen for not changing and not adapting his style, but that's exactly what he did on Saturday.
And look what it achieved. I've put out loads of tweets over the weekend, and I'm going to say it verbally. It wasn't just a victory for Aberdeen, which they deserved, in my opinion, and congratulations to them. I was delighted for them and for our pal Beth.
Well, you're looking a wee bit biased sitting there, is what I would say.
Well,
you would say that.
Yeah. But I thought it was a victory that Scottish football needed badly, and I'm delighted that Aberdeen were able to end the dominance of Celtic, because
They've not ended the dominance of
Celtic. No, but in the sense of them just, like a six treble in 9 years, that would have been, fuck, I mean, it's just too much. It's like, was it 12 titles in 13 or something as well? They're just way too good. They're too strong. Scottish football needed that. It really did. It was a shot in the arm to the game. And it also showed the other teams in the league that if you get your tactics right, you might be able to get something against the big two.
I did see your tweet last night or on Saturday, and you know, there was a lot of Celtic fans being very
magnanimous.
Yeah, and congratulating Aberdeen.
Yeah,
saying Celtic didn't do enough, which I don't think they did. But there was also Celtic fans saying that you know, if you play football like that, it'll get stopped playing for penalties from the first minute and all the rest of it. Don't seem to remember Celtic fans moaning too much when they got a draw away in Atlanta.
When they got battered.
When they got absolutely battered.
It was a masterclass
by Atlanta.
Masterclass in defending at the time.
Apparently it was. So, you know, funny that.
I mean, I did point out, see, Aberdeen had 19% of the possession. They won the Scottish Cup, and I made the point on Twitter to a couple of Celtic fans. I would say the majority of Celtic fans put their hands up and went, do you know what, Aberdeen deserved that. There was a couple that disagreed with it, and it would end football the way that Aberdeen play. But if Celtic were to go into the Champions League next year, and they put in that sort of defensive performance against, for example, Real Madrid, and came away with a 1-1, they would be, I mean, they'd be dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
If they were to play like that throughout the Champions League campaign with only 19% of possession and got to a final, would you care a jot? No, you wouldn't. It's very similar to Aberdeen playing Celtic.
One of the most famous results, in fact, probably the most famous result in Celtic's recent history, is beating Barcelona at Parkhead, where Celtic had 13% possession.
Something like that. But I was also there that night at the Nou Camp, when David Marshall had the night of his life.
Yeah.
It was 0-0.
Yeah.
I remember John Hartson missing a sitter that night, but they were battered. But that was celebrated like it was a victory.
Yeah, of course. And like,
but that's what I'm saying.
I know Celtic fans will probably go, oh, no, but it's different, like, blah, blah, blah. It's not different.
It's not any different.
It's not different at all. Aberdeen, if you compare Aberdeen and Celtic's resources, Aberdeen are well-resourced for a, you know,
for a club against other teams.
For a club against other teams, but compared with Celtic, they're not.
No.
Like, so Aberdeen got their tactics absolutely spot on Saturday.
So good.
Celtic did, as soon as, fair enough, it was a, you know, it was an absolute howler from Schmeichel, but, you know, Celtic only scored through an own goal as well.
Correct.
And you know,
I don't recall Mitov making many saves.
Apart from the Maeda one, when Maeda was through.
At the end of the game, yeah.
But apart for that, but again, Aberdeen, Papa Gay had a great chance. They hit straight the goalkeeper.
In the 90th minute.
So I think it wasn't a great game. However, Aberdeen needed it to be like that. What are Aberdeen meant to do? Play like how they've played against Celtic earlier on the season, get battered 6-0. Would you prefer that? Well, obviously, if you're a Celtic fan, you would. But if you're an Aberdeen fan, you'd do anything to win.
The Celtic B team pumped them 5-1 just a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
They lost 6 at Hampden in a semi-final at the start of this campaign.
Basically, it all sort of smacks a wee bit of
arrogance.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say arrogance, but just a wee bit, oh, but you didn't play right, so that means we couldn't hammer you, and that makes me upset. That's pretty much
it. But there
it.
Is a bit of... Because, let's be honest, everybody expected it. And listen, I was one of them. And I think most people watching Scottish football all expected Celtic to win another treble.
There was some classic heads gone as well. People slaughtering Callum McGregor.
Oh, terrible.
You know, the board coming under fire.
Brendan
as usual.
I mean, I think Brendan Rodgers is...
Celtic have won the league by an absolute canter. They won the League Cup as well. Yep, they lost out on penalties in the Scottish Cup final. They did all right in Europe. I think that was a decent, a more than decent season for Celtic.
100%. I get it. You're all ready for a treble celebration, six treble in nine years? Yeah. I get all that. And I know there's going to be disappointment, but the actual reaction, again, I'm going to have to emphasise this. I think it is a minority. I heard some of the calls that were on Super Scoreboard. I think Rodgers deserves a wee bit of criticism. I think his substitutions were pretty poor. We said it at the time when Engels came off. He just smacked the post with a brilliant left foot shot. His corners were causing Aberdeen all sorts of problems as well, which led to the own goal. I thought taking Engels off was a huge mistake. I didn't quite understand that. And again, I agree with you. I think removing Ida didn't quite work because Maeda wasn't really in the game. And see when when you're not giving Maeda the chance to get in behind you because you're sitting so deep, Maeda ain't going to do anything for you through the middle because there's no space for him to manoeuvre into or to work in. So that, for me, was a huge mistake. He then brings on John Joe Kenny and puts him through the middle and Maeda back to the left side. I just think he got it tactically wrong. I think he got his substitutions wrong. And Aberdeen and Jimmy Tilleen completely outsmarted Celtic for me.
I thought as soon as Aberdeen equalised through the own goal, Celtic never looked like scoring that.
But we said that in the shoot, didn't we? We thought, if there's one team that's going to win this now before penalties, it would have been Aberdeen. But then Maeda is through on goal. But did you not think, he never really got away from the defender?
He didn't hit it right.
He didn't hit it right, but normally when he's in that position, he gets so far ahead of the defender behind him because he's so quick. But he looked like a wee bit as if he was running in treacle. I don't know if it'd been such a long season.
Yeah, possibly. Because I even thought that was penalty. Like he sort of like, it wasn't a lazy penalty, but he was just, I thought he looked done.
Aye, he did. And he got lucky with the penalty when it went in. But listen, I can't begrudge Aberdeen that victory in any way, shape or form. And Scottish football needed that. And I mean... Stephen, I'll tell you this. I was actually out my seat when Mitov made that save for Aberdeen to win the cup, because a lot of people say, oh, why are you supporting Aberdeen and why do you want your rivals to do better or get into Europe and that stuff? I just think it's great for Scottish football. I really do. Listen, I loved Hearts have been in that position, but at the end of the day, and I've always been like this, I will support Aberdeen in Europe, I'll support Dundee United, and I'll support Hibs in Europe, because look at what's going on right now within Europe. You've got six teams from England in the Champions League, which is a joke, an absolute joke. You got Spurs, who finished 17th in the Premiership. They're directly into the group stages, into the group phase of the Champions League and all the riches that come with that. You got Celtic, the champions of Scotland, who've got to go through a qualifier. Spurs beat in the knockout rounds AZ Alkmaar, Eintracht Frankfurt and Bodo Glimt to get into the Champions League. And they beat Man United in the final, yeah. But I think you give Celtic those four games, they've got a chance to win the Europa League. Yet they get in Spurs after the season that they've had. And Celtic have to qualify. It's a fucking joke. So that's why we need to stop this narrow-minded, blinkered view when it comes to teams in Europe that are there representing Scotland. Because we need to get our coefficient up. We need our teams to do better in Europe so that we're competing at that level on a more regular basis, which means there's more money coming into the clubs, which means that we can get a better standard of player and we can start to improve. I hate the shite that I get all the time when I support teams from Scotland in Europe. But I'm looking at the bigger picture here. So I want Aberdeen to do well. I want Hibs and Dundee United to also get to the knockouts, to the group stages as well. So well done to the teams that have got through. Well done.
Aberdeen will be playing group stage football regardless next season.
Correct.
They snatched that away from Hibs, obviously. A lot of angry Hibs fans on Saturday. But yeah, great for Aberdeen.
But here, did you see this though? Hold on, I've got it here. I'm going to take my glasses off to read it. There's a lot of tweets that have come back to bite people in the ass. Did you see the Dundee United tweet when they beat Aberdeen on the final day of the season? the terrors of Tannadice are destined for the Europa League, because everyone expected Aberdeen to get pumped against Celtic. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's loads of tweets like that coming back to haunt, like Hibs and all that.
I think that's quite silly, to be honest with
you. Yeah, that's the official pages, like Hibs, Dundee United. Yeah. And then you look at what Aberdeen have achieved, and now they've got group stage football to look forward to. I wouldn't rule out Hibs doing well in the Europa Conference League and getting through to the group stages.
Well, fingers crossed, we'll see. In terms of Aberdeen, brilliant for them. Great scenes in Aberdeen yesterday as well. 100,000 out in the city.
I've got an amazing stat for you about Dunfermline.
About Dunfermline?
And Aberdeen. Thanks to Smokey for this. 64 years ago, Dunfermline beat Celtic to win the Scottish Cup.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
No, because it was in 1961, Ewan. I wasn't born.
Oh, true. Since then, Celtic have only lost four finals to a team not called Rangers. On all four occasions, that team were?
Aberdeen.
And Aberdeen, yeah. So, when was the last time you won the Scottish Cup? Was that the last time you won it?
1968.
68 was the last time.
68, where we actually beat Celtic in the first round. And Celtic were the European Cup holders at that stage as well. And we beat them at Parkhead. So,
and you went on to win the Cup that year?
Went on to win the Cup, beat Hearts in the final.
Thanks for that, Smokey. That's a brilliant stat.
Yep, there we are. Yeah, so well done to Aberdeen. I think great stuff. I always, like, football has this mental thing where it doesn't matter how shitty everything is around you. Like, Aberdeen as a city has gone through some pretty tough times over the last few years, like economically and housing and all that stuff as well. And I'd actually say the same about Falkirk in terms of what's happening with Grangemouth and that. But I think football has this unique ability just to bring lots of people together. And I thought it was great yesterday. Great scenes in Aberdeen. So well done to Jimmy Tilleen, Graham Shinney and the boys.
And there's a lot of people out there, and I'll be one of them, right? I've been very critical of Aberdeen this season.
Oh, yeah, somebody asked me, actually, do you still think Jimmy Tilleen will be gone by Christmas?
No.
Because it's funny, you said that last week.
I know, I did say that last week. But what I will say is there's been a lot of criticism of Aberdeen this season, and I think a lot of it has been justified. Some of it might have been a wee bit over the top. Huge criticism of Jimmy Tilleen, and I've been one of the guilty parties of that. I was going after him big style. But he proved a lot of people wrong. And I think he learnt a lesson as well in that Scottish Cup final, because that showed what a good manager he could be and can be if he gets his tactics spot on. I think he was a bit arrogant in regards to sticking by his philosophy when he's getting battered by Celtic every time he played them and losing stupid games to St Mirren, etc., etc. So that might be the turning point for Aberdeen and Jimmy Tilleen going into next season, because the confidence that will give him and the team could be huge, and we could be in for an absolute cracker of a season.
Not a bad turning point, winning the Scottish Cup.
No, not at all.
It was also the Women's Scottish Cup final yesterday. Glasgow City 0, Rangers 3. Kirsty Howe with a couple of goals, and Rangers defend their Scottish Cup title. So successive cup doubles for the Rangers women's side over the past couple of seasons. A
couple of good goals in that game as well.
There was. The first goal I thought was a great finish. Well, it was a good turn and finish. Yeah. Glasgow City, second consecutive season without silverware. Their last Scottish Cup came in 2019. Glasgow City obviously dominated the women's game for many, many years, but Rangers, Hibs have won Hibs the league this the season. League Cup, Celtic have won the league recently as well. So, there we are. That was the Scottish Cup women's final yesterday. Premiership playoff second leg tonight, 1-1 after Thursday. It was an awful game of football. really bad. Ronan Hale, 96th minute penalty.
Was that a penalty for you?
Yes. Really stupid. Really stupid by the defender. Didn't need to do it. Danny Wilson, it was. Yeah.
He's an experienced boy. He's got to know better than that.
I think.
But you had no hesitation about.
Once you looked at it, well, you had to give a penalty. What do you think is going to happen tonight, Ross County?
I think it'll be tight again. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to extra time.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's much between the teams.
That showed the other night there.
I just think home advantage might be enough I think for it County will be. To get over the line. What do you think, John? Yeah.
I think Ross County might just do it tonight. I think, though, I've just read that Livingston have taken have just about sold out their away allocation for tonight, which is really surprising.
So I'm going to ask you, Stephen, again, looking at it, now that Livingston have got investors in there, the Fords?
Yeah.
Related to the Fords, and they're talking about ripping up the pitch and doing all this work and everything. Do Do you change your opinion about who you'd want to be in the championship next year because of that? Do you want Livingston or do you want Ross County?
Still want Livingston.
You still want Livingston?
Because I still think it's a harder task, and I think there's a lot of players that will leave Livingston to go elsewhere if they're not up on the Premiership.
Right, okay.
Whereas I actually had a very nice debate with Gordy, the Ross County fan, so thank you very much for your message, Gordy, about Ross County basically coming down and spending lots of money, and he was questioning that, and then I gave him a few stats to back it up, and we had a good back and forth. So,
Since I mentioned Dunfermline and what you'd prefer for next season, any word on your manager?
I've not heard it. Same as last week. I believe it's pretty much done.
Right, okay.
I think, by the looks of it, I think they're waiting till it's done, and then I think there might be a signing coming in who I don't know, and then we might be looking at the season because our season tickets aren't on sale yet. So I think they're trying to tie everything together. So hopefully, I know there's been like people worrying at all, like, you know,
is Lennon holding on for something else?
Holding on for the Motherwell job, of course. Michael Wimmer's away as well. We didn't really talk about that. So that I believe that that is not the case.
Okay,
that Neil Lennon is.
He'll get you up if he stays. He gets you up.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have some news this week. I don't know quite what the hold-up is because I'm not involved. So, that was pretty much it in terms of the weekend. And then
Shout out to Clyde Bank as well. They got promoted to the Lowland League.
Oh, well done, Clyde Bank.
They beat Musselburgh. Was that yesterday? Yeah.
Oh, well done to them.
Yeah, well done.
They'll be playing Bonnyrigg and the likes next season.
Do you know in 1988 when Wet released the album, Popped In, Sold Out? They were sponsors of Clyde Bank back in the day.
Right, John Boy, are we doing winner takes all? Are we doing our predictions?
No VAR WTF, isn't it? So we'll do a quick winner takes all and then we'll go into the predictions, will
we? Okay, yeah.
Loser asked for silent victory. That's your destiny.
Right, okay, we'll do a quick one today because we've not done it for a couple of weeks. So you know the rules. You've just got to pick who you think is the best. And we're going to do managers of the season. All the awards have been dished out, but let's do managers of the season.
What, over the years?
No, just this season.
This season?
This season.
What do you mean? What have we got to choose?
What do you mean, what have you got to choose?
That doesn't make any sense to me. Who's the best of them all, the managers?
Yes. Effectively.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing our own manager of the season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, so you know why he's done this?
Because
John McGlynn won it. Yeah.
He is expecting us to pick John McGlynn.
Yeah.
We'll wait and find out what happens.
Right, go on.
Right, okay. So, Stephen, you'll go first. I'll put Ewan in the cone of silence.
Okay.
There you go. Ewan is away now, so we can say what we want about
Get Ewan. It on!
Jambo Sheep himself.
Jambo Get Sheep, it on! Yeah, turn off his mic.
Right, yeah, let's turn off his mic. Yeah, let's do that. Right, okay, Stephen. So just decide who's basically going to be the manager of the season out of the six selections I have in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out if you and Ewan have the same footballing nous. Here we go then. Right, so first one up is Scott Kelker of Inverness, and he goes up against David Gray. Scott Kelker doing a very good job up in the Highlands.
Well, yeah, he did. But, I mean, I think Inverness, to a certain extent, went into administration and got rid of a lot of their shite players, and obviously Duncan Ferguson, who wasn't a very good manager. So they still have the basis of a decent squad there. So on that basis, I'm going to go for David Gray because I think he's been very good.
Another Edinburgh manager, Michael McKindle, many tipped Edinburgh to go down this season, done a very good job getting them into the playoffs and narrowing.
I watched his interview. I think I mentioned it last week on the podcast after the final game. I think he might be absolutely off his rocker, so I'm going to go for David Gray.
Right, okay. Stephen Robinson, two Premiership manager.
Oh.
A lot of people, St Mirren Sports, saying he's not got the credit he's deserved. Two top six finishes for the Bunnies.
I'm going to go for Stephen Robinson.
Above David Gray, there you go. John McGlynn, Falkirk manager, back-to-back promotions. Very good. And finally, Brendan Rodgers.
Stephen Robinson. Yeah.
You are that pig-headed. You're going to go for Stephen Robinson.
Yeah. I think the resources he's got, and I think what he's achieved is much better than anything else. Falkirk winning a really, really poor championship. And, you know, fortunate.
Fine, listen, it's your decision. Ewan back in. Ewan's back in the room. Hi, Ewan.
Hello, that was quick.
There we go. Right, okay then, we'll put Stephen now in the cone of silence. And Ewan, you have got to decide who the best manager is this season. Here we go. Right, so we stick off with Scott Kelliker, who was the Inverness manager, did really good mm-hmm. job with them, and he goes up against David Gray of Hibs.
Oh, Gray.
Gray all the way. Michael McKindle, were tipped to go down.
Yeah, did well, kept them up.
Kept them up, got them into the playoffs, yeah. But is Michael McKindle better than David Gray?
Nah.
No.
Gray.
Stephen Robinson against David Gray. Stephen Robinson, obviously. Gray. Great, yep. John McGlynn.
Gray.
And finally, Brendan Rodgers.
Gray.
Wow. Wow. Let's bring Stephen back in now.
That
right.
was very quick.
Very quick indeed.
But I think it's an easy decision for me. I think people disagree with me, but I think it's an easy decision.
I think
decision.
A lot of people disagree with
me. My world will be wrong.
Right, okay then. Right, so first of all, we had Scott Kelliker going up against David Gray. 1, 2, 3.
Gray.
David Gray.
Then it was Michael McKindle at Edinburgh. 1, 2, 3.
Gray.
Then we had Stephen Robinson.
Gray.
Robinson.
Nah, no chance. No chance. Gray for me. Easy decision. Gray all the way.
Then it was John McGlynn. 1, 2, 3.
Gray. Robinson.
Of course it was.
Did you go? You're not sticking Robinson all the way, are you?
I can't believe you've. None
just go on the next one.
And then finally it was Brendan Rodgers, won the double with Celtic this season. 1, 2, 3.
Robinson. So I think if you're going your top three, I think for me it would be Robinson, Gray, Rodgers,
McGlynn,
McIndoe, Kelliker, McGlynn. I would say that's
wild from you two.
For me, the top three are Gray, McGlynn, Robinson. And then I'd have Rodgers. I think Rodgers is an outstanding manager, and we're very lucky to have a manager of his quality in our league. But with the resources he's got, he should be achieving what he achieves. I think David Gray, in his first full season at Hibs, after the start that they made, to finish in third was a remarkable achievement. Honestly, for a debutant manager, I think it was sensational.
I don't disagree
with
that.
He's manager of the year for me.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think David Gray has done an absolutely brilliant job. However, he has more resource than Stephen Robinson mm-hmm. at St Mirren.
And Robinson had a brilliant...
Post-split.
Post-split, he was out. So I give you that, and I love Robinson. I think he's a top manager. For what he's got to work with and the budget he's got to work with, yeah, outstanding. I think the debut season for Gray, for me, makes him the manager of the year. And also, another thing is the way that he played against Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, yeah. Both Robinson and Gray have had good results.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my God, yeah, they went to Parkhead.
If you think about it,
Falkirk
haven't won a game since the 2nd of May as well, which is pretty poor.
Falkirk haven't won a game since the 2nd of May.
Well, there's not, that's a fact. So.
Yeah, well, of course, because that was our last game, yeah. Stephen. Yeah, so that, yeah, there we go. Brilliant.
Well,
anyway.
I think that's poor. You've gone nearly a month with it, haven't
I'm not taking anything away from Falkirk because I wanted him back in the Premiership anyway. But what I will say, and the reason that I don't give John McGlynn manager of the year, the boy's experience, he's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. And
had
what
the fifth lowest budget in the championship.
But I still expected you to get into the playoffs because I thought you had momentum from the League One title season and you were unbeaten in that league.
And it was a poor championship,
And it's not the greatest championship, but I just think because John McGlynn is such an experienced boy against David Gray in the Premiership, I just think
got a lot of breaks, poor champion.
Well, read the t-shirt.
Fortunate.
Yeah,
read the
t-shirt.
Wait,
there's the t-shirt there.
Yeah,
there
we go.
Let's go back to our predictions.
Yes, let's do that. Right, okay.
Shit.
Here we go. This is very interesting, boys. Very, very interesting what we've got here. So, obviously the two of you at the start of the season on our first podcast back decide to make predictions. So what I thought, we'd make it a competition because we always do that on this show anyway. So I thought I'd give you 5 points for everyone you got right. Do you remember your predictions?
No.
Absolutely
not. I can't even remember what you asked us.
Well, there was a series of predictions that we made. So let's go through them, shall we? And we'll start off with League Two, right? So 5 points for everyone you got right. Stephen, can you remember who you said you would win? Who would win it?
East Fife.
You did, right? And obviously you got that wrong. And who went down? You said...
Edinburgh City, I think.
Yep. And that's no points for you because you said that we were both... Ewan, you won't remember at all.
No, not
anything.
A clue.
You said that Clyde would go on to win the league. He said Ian McCall will do well. That's not exactly what I think. Ian McCall got sacked in November. And you said Edinburgh City would go down. So 0 points for League Two for the two of you.
Okay.
Let's go to League One now, right?
Yeah.
Ewan, you said, can you remember? No, you can't.
Did I say Queen of the South?
You did, actually, and this is exactly what you said.
If Queen of the South do not win this league, then they might as well chuck it.
So, sorry, Queens, you have chucked it. Sorry.
So, 0 points for you. Stephen, what did you say?
I think I went for Arbroath. So I'm going to go for Arbroath to win the league. Also, Jim McIntyre has done a pretty decent job at that sort of level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim McIntyre, of course, did get the sack.
He got sacked after two games.
But they got up.
They won the league. That's all that matters. Yeah. That's what the history books will show, that I got that right. 5 points to me.
Five points to Stephen. You said, Ewan, you said that Inverness would go down.
Oh, I was so close with that.
You were quite close with that. And Stephen, you went for Stenismuir, who finished fourth. So, Mel's out with that. Right, Championship now.
Yeah.
You remember what you went for?
No.
No, of course you don't, Stephen.
No interest.
Don't remember that.
No interest in this league.
Ewan, you said Raith Rovers.
I did. But I did say Falkirk would be top four.
You did, so we'll get to that in a minute. You said you would finish fifth, obviously, Raith Rovers, and went through three managers, so
yeah.
On that one. Stephen.
Did I go Livingston?
You went Partick Thistle. Went Partick Thistle.
You went Partick?
Yeah.
That's silly.
Again, had they not just lost the playoff? They got beat off. You must have went. That must have been the reason why you went for them.
Don't know.
So anyway, there you go. So wrong on both counts.
So is it on to the Premiership then?
Let's go to your Championship playoff contenders, Stephen.
You said this. I think Livingston will be in there. I think Airdrie will be in there. And I think Erin Raith Rovers. I think that's your top five.
Not bad. Got 5 points there.
And Airdrie technically were in the playoffs, so, you know.
Technically. Ewan, however,
You
nailed it. You said Partick Thistle, Ayr, and Falkirk. So 10 points to Ewan.
Did I actually?
Yep.
What do you mean Partick Thistle, Ayr, and Falkirk? Falkirk weren't in the playoffs.
No, but he got 10 points. Got Thistle and Ayr. He got Thistle and Ayr.
I got Thistle and Ayr.
But I said Erin.
No.
Listen, I'll be in there. I think Airdrie will be in there.
Airdrie.
And I think Erin Raith Rovers. I think Ayr. That's your top five. That's five for me.
So you're going to say that you said you kind of mixed it up there. You said that'll be your top five. You didn't specify.
I think Livingston will be in there. I think Airdrie will be in there. And I think Erin Raith Rovers. I think that's your top five.
Yeah, so I get 10 points. He does get fair because he already said before Raith Rovers.
Livingston and Ayr. Fuck off, John.
Even I'd give him that.
You're giving him okay.
You're
fucking
right.
I'd give him that. He did say Ayr.
Right.
It's like he went through his top five.
However, you got another point when you said this.
I think Falkirk have got a better chance than Dunfermline of getting into the playoffs. So for me, Hamilton go down.
Another 5 points.
Get in!
However,
I said Hamilton would go down. Yep. Get in!
There you go. But it was your asterisk beside that because he did.
Doesn't matter, they went down.
Yep, you're right, correct. Absolutely correct. Here we go. And Stephen said this, of course.
Yep, I think Falkirk might start the season pretty well, but I think John McGlynn has proven a number of times in the Championship that he's quite easy to work out. And I think that maybe after the first quarter, things might taper off a little bit and then Falkirk might find themselves and a wee bit of trouble.
Right, so who's getting relegated?
Falkirk.
That's worked out well for you, Stephen.
That doesn't even sound like me.
No,
that
you certainly got a sore throat.
That should
that
be
doesn't
negative
even sound
points
like me.
Yeah, you had the flu or something that day. Right, so anyway, there you go. So Ewan, out of that, the Championship, that was 15 points for you.
15 points, because I've got points. Hamilton.
There you go, and then 10 points for Stephen.
So
right.
What are we setting at? 15-all?
Yeah.
15-all?
There you go. Right. Premiership, I think he's both got 5 points for Celtic.
Yeah, we did.
It was quite obvious.
This is up to 20.
Oh, shit, right.
Can you remember who you went for the top six?
Did we do a top six?
Yes.
Did we?
And I only gave you 5 points for each correct position.
I think we both said Hearts, obviously, but that never happened. And in regards to the rest, I don't got a fucking clue what I said.
Oh, of course you did say this.
Hearts will finish above Aberdeen. And if we don't finish above Aberdeen, I will sit in this chair with a full Aberdeen strip on for a podcast. And yeah. Here I am today.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that counts.
So what did we do for the top six then?
Right, so Ewan, you said Hart second, Rangers third, Aberdeen fourth, Kilmarnock fifth, and Dundee sixth. Not one right in that one.
Well, you said Aberdeen in the top six.
We ranked them.
Oh, so positions then. So we're looking for...
So I didn't give you 5 points.
Fair enough.
Stephen was sensible, however, and went for Rangers second. So that's another 5 points for Stephen.
Yeah.
Hearts third. Kilmarnock fourth.
Oh, God.
Dundee fifth. And Aberdeen sixth.
So you get 5 points.
Five points.
This is what, however, you guys both had to say about Hibs.
I think Hibs are in for a shocker.
I think they're a mess.
Well, they were.
We were right to begin with.
They were until about November, and then David Gray turned it around. So, do we get 5 points for saying that?
No 5 points for that. Relegation playoff, both wrong on this one. Ewan, you said St Johnstone. And Stephen, you went for Dundee United.
Yep.
You said, I don't have this quote, but don't think Dundee United are very good. And they
I don't. Well, that was off the back of the Championship season, where
the championship.
They weren't very good.
No, they weren't.
So, yeah, they've proven me wrong, John.
There you go. Relegated, both got it wrong as well. Both went for Ross County.
They still could get relegated.
You said this about David Gray.
David Gray will be away when?
Before the Ghosties come out.
It didn't happen either.
No.
Before the ghost is coming. Oh, before Halloween,
Did we do our first manager away prediction?
Well, that was David Gray for Ewan, and Stephen, you said Clement.
All right, so I wasn't far away.
You weren't far away. Clement was always going.
It was Levine.
Player of the year. Ewan, can you remember who you said would be player of the year?
I can't even remember being asked that question.
Lauren Shankland. Lauren Shankland. This was all the time where you were worried he would leave Hearts.
Yeah.
He said you would sign a pre-contract come January with a club which you thought was going to be Rangers.
Yeah.
However, Mr. Mill, this is what you said.
I'm going to go for Dyson Mayhew.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
where did you get that, Faye? That's unreal.
I just knew he would have a really good season this season. So that's why I picked him.
Well, listen, if he's won the prediction game, then he deserves that.
Yeah.
Because that's a cracking shout.
Ah, there we are.
You'd have got good odds for that as well.
So there are our 5 points for Stephen for that one. League Cup. Ewan, you said?
I can't remember.
Hearts. Stephen, you said? Celtic. Another 5 points.
Shit.
For Stephen Mill. Then finally, we had...
Scottish Cup.
Ewan, you said Hearts.
Did I think we'd win the cup double?
You thought you were
finishing second in
the
cup double. Jesus Christ.
And Stephen, you said Rangers.
Oh.
Neither were right. So no points there. The final totals, as I have them then, in the predictions for the start of the season are Ewan, 25, Stephen, 40.
Thank you. A thumping. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Stephen.
Well done, Stephen.
I can't complain about that.
Right. Well, we finish off our quiz then, shall we?
Shit, do we have to?
Yes.
Where are you going? Oh, he's getting a pen. Stephen's getting a pen.
Stephen's got a pen. Oh, I've got your wee boards for next season, so you can write down your answers.
Well, That's actually quite a good idea. I've got a stylist thing here.
You've got your thing anyway. Yeah.
Go on.
All right, so it is an end of season quiz.
So this is about everything that's happened in 24-25.
Yeah, and I made it a bit more interactive this week. It's all mod cons this week.
Okay.
So,
you've actually done some work?
I've actually done some work.
Okay,
this week,
let's
so
do
that,
it.
That's good. I've done more as well, so 7 questions today. I thought we'd make it because it's the end of the season.
Oh, get in.
Through 7 questions today.
Why don't you make it so that we have to take a top bin at some point as well?
Oh,
we have to do it.
Yeah. Right, okay, let's do it. This is all very exciting. Right, so yeah, you know how the game works. And it's all stuff from the end of the season. So let's crack on with question number one, shall we? Now, it's all about kind of the banter stuff that happened over the season rather than serious questions. So I want you to tell me which team retweeted and only fans count on Valentine's Day, and there's the picture on the back screen there. Which club retweeted that? If you're watching the YouTube version, you can see a club retweeted that on Valentine's Day.
I saw a video.
Which club was it?
I saw a video of Sophie Rain the other day there on Twitter.
Right.
And she had she was in a $10 million. No. Was it $10 million? No, but she was on her own private jet. Right. And it was an absolutely unbelievable private jet.
It's all thanks to the football club that retweeted that picture as well.
A Scottish football club.
A Scottish football club
retweeted that.
So you just on need the name of the club. Day. Just give me
but clearly by accident.
Well, I don't think
had they forgot to switch accounts?
Of course they had.
Who's the horniest club in Scottish football, basically? Who's got the horn?
I'm going to go with this.
It was swiftly taken down, but one other Scottish SPFL club noticed that it had been done and piled on this club, which was very, very funny.
I've got an answer. Was that the actual tweet?
That was the actual tweet.
So if you're not watching on YouTube, it's a picture of Sophie Rain, and it's got me on a PS5 as a tweet, and the club retweeted that.
Yes.
Who have you gone for, Ewan?
I have gone for Wraith Rovers.
They would be more into anime, surely.
hold on.
It's not Wraith Rovers.
No, it's not Wraith Rovers. Right. Stephen.
Niche cartoon porn joke for you there. Uh-huh. I went for Elgin City.
Oh, the horniest club in Scotland.
I think the horniest club in Scotland are Elgin City.
Can I have another guess?
Yes. Yeah, you go on then.
Was it Livingston?
No.
Were they in the Championship?
No.
Were they in the Premiership?
Just tell us.
It was Clyde FC.
Was it?
And very smartly, they'd been slagging off Peterhead on Twitter, and Peterhead spotted it and screen grabbed it and retweeted it from the club's account. It was very, very good.
Do you know who runs a Clyde Twitter account?
I don't know, but I don't know if they run it anymore.
A very horny person.
Right, okay. The next round is a mystery voice. I want you to tell me who did this very inappropriate bit of commentary during the season. Here we go.
Another look at it. McCausland got it sweetly.
Oh, it's right in the dish.
I've got it.
In the face.
In the face. Oh, maybe it's no him.
Another look at it. McCausland got it sweetly.
Oh, it's right in the dish.
Yeah.
In the face.
Go, let me hear that again.
Another look at it. McCausland got it sweetly.
Oh, it's right
straight
in the
face. Yeah.
In the face.
That's not him. That's McCausland. So that's obviously a Rangers game. So it's in the Premiership or it's a European tag. Do that again.
Right.
Another look at it. McCausland got it sweetly.
Oh, it's right
straight
in the
face. Yeah.
In the face.
Who, do you know who that is?
I think so.
In the face. Who said in the face? It's not McCann, it's not Faddy.
My favourite bad commentary.
Is it him? I'm going to go with that. So I'll just shout out mine.
Right, okay, right, it's okay. Right, Stephen, you got an answer?
I do have an answer.
Okay, right, I'm going to go with Michael Stewart.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Stephen, what are you going for?
Stephen Thompson.
Is it?
It sounded like him.
What? It would appear as though that boy actually does have a personality.
Okay.
Right, okay, I really should get Sophie Rain's off the telly.
You should get Sophie Rain's picture off the telly. Why is that staying up there?
But that's okay, because our next round deserves a picture as well. And I want you to turn to the telly and tell me, what SPFL ground is this where a ball got stuck up a tree? There we go. What SPFL ground is that?
There's a ball up there.
There's a clue in the picture.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's hills in the background.
Is that Pentland Hills? Are we talking Central Belt or?
I'm not giving you clues.
The ball.
If you look at the picture carefully, you'll be able to work it out.
How? It's just a bucking tree and some hills in the background.
What's that? I've got it.
What did you recognise? So, what did you recognise the tree, Stephen?
I know that tree anywhere.
Think of a ground with a tree next to it. But yeah, a ball got stuck up on the tree. We're showing a picture of just a tree and a ball stuck up it for all.
Do you genuinely recognise that tree?
Oh yeah, I'd recognise that tree anywhere. That is a very famous tree.
What question is this, number
three?
Right, I've got an answer. I don't think it's right, though.
Okay, you're writing it down, Ewan, yeah?
No, I'll just tell you, mate. He's writing it down.
Right, okay. Ewan, go on and tell us who you've...
Edinburgh City.
Well,
yes! If you get this right, then...
I think that this is a ferry.
So that
would make it Stranraer.
Oh, yeah. Is that a ferry down there?
Yes, that's a P&O ferry. I thought that was a clue.
Yeah, but I thought that was a fucking building down there. Is that a ferry?
That's a ferry.
Oh, I didn't even notice that as a ferry. If you'd said to me it was a ferry, then I'd have half a chance.
There we go.
And I probably still said something like clue.
Right,
though.
Okay then. So that's 2-0 to Stephen.
What question are we on now?
We are on question number 4 now. Right. This question is, what was strange about Raith Rovers' unveiling photo of Barry Robson as their manager?
I don't know what you're doing. I'm just going to say my answer. I know what that is.
Right.
I've got it.
Okay.
Have you done it, Stephen?
Yeah.
Right, okay, you've both got an answer now?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Right, okay, Ewan, let's go at you first since you didn't write it down.
They stole the unveiling picture of when he was at Aberdeen.
Stephen, you got somewhat?
It was photoshopped from an Aberdeen picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, both right.
Perfect. What was that, 3-1?
3-1.
What question are we doing now?
We are up to question number 5.
And what's the score?
It is 3-1.
Can I go top bin?
You want to go top bin?
Yeah, you have to go for it as well at some point. Why don't we just both do our top bins here?
Okay.
We're both doing top bins here.
Right, both doing top bins here. Right, okay, Ewan.
Yeah.
How many goals did Elton Kabangu get in the league this season? How many goals did Elton Kabangu get in the league this season?
Just in the league?
Yep.
Right, I've got an answer. I think he got 6 in total and 13. Okay, I'm going to go 4.
You're going to go 4?
Yeah, because I think he got 6 in total.
Fuck, what is it?
6.
Yes! I said 6!
But you said 4.
Was it... Oh, no. Did I...
Right. Stephen.
Yeah.
I said 6.
He did.
I thought that was in total in my head. You
should have said 6. You had the answer.
Right, shut up, Steve. Right. Fucking hell, man.
Right, top bin for me.
Top bin for you, Stephen. And this is according to the BBC website, okay?
Okay.
If he gets this, it's done.
Fuck, we'll just keep going because it's funny anyway. How many minutes did Victor Wanyama last on his debut before being sent off? How many minutes did Victor Wanyama last on his debut before being sent off?
You can't have that.
No.
I wasn't getting one either side or two either side of Kabangu, was I? We were on air that day.
Yeah.
We were laughing about it.
I was laughing about it as well.
Your WhatsApp came in before it even happened.
It was amazing.
Okay, I've got an answer.
You've got an answer.
Oh, please get this wrong. Okay.
Right, what is your answer, Stephen?
20 minutes.
I can't believe he's nailed that! I cannot believe he's nailed that! Came on in the 64th minute, got sent off on the 84th minute. That's unbelievable.
Do you know what? That just sums up the season I've had on this fucking quiz, honest to God. It's a joke. He just put a number on a bit of paper thinking, well, yeah, not quite sure. And that's happened all season. You're a jammy git. You really are.
I thought it was 19, 20 or 21, right. And I just went right in the middle. Right. So there you are.
George, keep going.
The last two. We'll do the last two because there's seven.
You've got a few here. Right, okay, right, okay.
Go on, which, just do it.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit said this?
Are you hungry for more, Dick? You want?
Are you hungry for more, Dick?
You want?
Are you hungry for more, Dick? Super Scoreboard pundit.
Let's hear it.
Are you hungry for more, Dick? You want?
Who said that on television?
On telly?
Right, okay, well, that's a clue.
Pull it, play again.
Are you hungry for more, Dick? You want?
And he's a Super Scoreboard pundit?
Yep.
And also does telly.
Are you hungry for more, Dick? You want?
Are you hungry? So he was interviewing Dick Campbell?
I may not have been.
Play again!
Are you hungry for more, Dick? You want?
He knew what he was doing.
Oh, I know who it is.
Write down your answer then.
Can I just write down the position he plays in when he was a player?
No.
No!
That's not the question.
Have you written down an answer?
Yeah.
Are you happy with that?
I think so.
Oh, mate, I know who it is. I've worked with him when I covered for Super Scoreboard.
Aye.
Oh, what's his name again? I had him balancing a ball and he said, with Simon Donnelly.
You did.
Oh, my God. Lovely guy.
Jump A, give you the answer.
The goalkeeper. No, don't. Oh, no.
Cammy Bell!
Fuck. John. Fucking.
This is getting embarrassing now.
Right.
Right. Do you want the last two questions?
Yeah, go on.
Aye, let's spin through them.
Right, okay.
I've only got one right so far.
You're not doing very well this week.
Fucking no. It's fucking story of my season.
Rumours were Queen's Park investor Willie Haughey was left upset by an incident at a Queen's Park social event. But what was the incident? Rumours were Queen's Park investor Willie Haughey was left upset by an incident at a Queen's Park social event. But what was the incident?
I've got this. I think Stephen gets it as well. I've had a shocker today. And I'm sat here in Aberdeen gear.
Right. Right. You got an answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Quiz team name. You got upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen.
Offensive quiz team name.
Yes.
They included the names were Haughey Out, Nepotism FC, and the most offensive of all, Big Fanny Haughey. He wasn't very happy about that. So there was rumours. Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Final question.
The final question.
I'm going to read out a Twitter
exchange which happened between a St Mirren supporter and a supporter of another team. Okay. You've just got to identify the team, okay?
Okay.
Right, okay, this starts off with, what a fucking trash, shitty club St Mirren is. Shit style of play, shit support, and worst of all, they don't follow fair play at all.
Is this Ewan Cameron who's tweeting this? Just
Then someone replied back, away back on your Viking longboat, mate, and try not to raid any villages on your way home. Hashtag shite Viking club. Then he jumps in and says, do you have anything worth stealing down there? And then someone else jumps in and says, actually, I'm with the Norwegian on that. There is fuck all in Paisley worth stealing. Fair play. So, a couple of quotes in there. We'll do that again. What the fucking trashy, shitty club St Mirren FC is. Shite style of play, shit support, and worst of all, they don't follow fair play at all. Then someone jumps in and said, away back on your Viking longboat, mate, and try not to raid any villagers on your way home. Hashtag shite Viking club. Then he jumps back and said, do you have anything worth stealing down there? Then another person goes, actually, I'm with the Norwegian on that. There is fuck all in Paisley, worth stealing, fair play.
I think.
So what's the question?
The fan. Name the
You've
fan.
You've got to name the club.
The club.
The club that's involved.
In this
exchange, okay?
I think it's that.
Yeah, I've got it.
Have you actually got it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, because I remember who St Mirren played.
I've got to say thanks very much to Old Firm Fats, who've done an amazing end of season poll, I got most of it. It was brilliant.
They often do, Old Firm Fats.
It is brilliant, brilliant stuff. Right, okay, have you got an answer?
I went with Aberdeen. Scottish Cup winners.
You've went with Aberdeen.
A Viking longbow.
That's the worst answer you've ever given in this quiz.
Is it not Bran?
It's Brann.
Oh, yeah, Europe. Oh, so right.
So they were in Europe and played SK Brann. Yeah.
Why did I say Aberdeen?
Ewan, I don't know. But
that just sums up my season 24-25.
Do you want the music, Stephen?
Yeah, give him the music, man.
Yeah, of course I want the music. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so, right. That was a shocker.
I can take this off now, can't I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can take this off as well, actually. Thank you for everyone.
Thank you, everybody. That's been the usual. I'm taking this stuff off now. Beth! Bring the stuff back to you.
This is great podcasting, there, lads. Just both of you just taking clothes off.
Well, stop dressing us up. I've said this before, John. Stop putting me in clothes that you want to shag me in. So, so... I've warned you about that before. Okay, right, that is it from the Big Scottish Football Podcast for this season.
No, it's not, because we're coming back next week.
We're coming back next week, yes, exactly. But in terms of the actual football, that is us done and dusted, and Ewan's doing something strange with Aberdeen cow. So
all the other Scottish football podcasts are shutting down for the season, but we're still going.
We are still going, and you know why that is? Because we like money. Hit the music, yeah. There we are. Right, thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for your comments. Keep them coming on YouTube as well. We'll obviously read out the best of them as we normally do, and hopefully won't be dressed in anything over the summer and all the rest of it. Obviously, John, I need to tell you, I do have a couple of holidays booked.
There's a shot.
I've not been on holiday since February.
You spent most of the season on working holiday.
In fact, I didn't even miss a podcast.
No, you did.
In February. No, in January I did. I've not missed a podcast since January. You've missed a podcast since then, actually. Remember?
Oh, John McAnally was doing it.
And John's barely been here, so... where have you been?
Exactly.
You've barely been here.
Way too many
exactly.
times.
Exactly. Didn't he come at me? Right, anyway, enjoy your week. We'll catch you next time. See you
Bye.
Later. Bye.